I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes. Not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that. Actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera. Hear something weird or something like that.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac. Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from the Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies, and you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. Bye! the veil between this world and the next getting thinner. I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/ Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/ CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now. You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Moving right along.
Pronounce it.
Okay, let me try. We were talking with Gina on the break about this. And
this has been a mystery since the opening of the show.
Presbycusis.
Presbycusis.
Gene, what do you think?
I think you got it pretty close.
Not bad.
Presbycusis. Presbycusis. It sounds like a freaking religion.
Or a disease.
Or a flower.
If it was an osis.
Or a disease.
It could be a, yeah.
Well, it's much cooler than that, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank heavens. And how it relates to the paranormal
really
is what we're going to talk with Gene Lafferty today about. Your website, of course, is www.bsphi.com. We have that, of course, still permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, Gene, before we get into this, I want to thank you again for having us at Mansfield Reformatory last year and treating us so well there and taking such good care of us and also giving us this really, really cool plaque that's on the wall here at the winery now. So thank you again for having us.
It was a pleasure having you guys there.
And we had a great time that night. We got to do some ghost hunting. We got to talk. It was just a really fun night to go out there and check some stuff out. But earlier this week, I saw, you know, I got an email from you, and you guys are putting out a newsletter now, correct?
Right.
And this is the actual BSPHI newsletter. And the first one I got was actually on this particular word we're talking about, presbycusis phenomena. And just to get things rolling here, we've often talked about this on the show, about how we think, you know, there's ideas of how, you know, children may be more perceptive or more sensitive than adults are, which makes a whole lot of sense. And I think Gene is taking this to the next level now, and that's why I demanded that he come on the show and talk to us this weekend.
Yes, you're so demanding.
And my powers brought Gene on the show. He, in fear, he said, okay, no problem, just I'll come on the show. So you're here. How do we get started with it? I mean, presbycusis. I think I got it right now. What is there to back? I mean, and I'm not like accusing here. I'm just saying, what do we have to back this thing up now, according to you, Gene?
Well, the whole thing came up when I do quite a bit of presentations, and no matter where I'm at and giving a presentation, I always get the same question. My child is hearing things, seeing things that I don't hear or see. Why is that?
Uh-huh.
And the common response was always, well, you know, children aren't conditioned yet not to believe in ghosts. So they're more open to it. So they see and hear more things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm personally not real satisfied with that explanation. So I started checking into perhaps some medical reasons that they're able to see and hear things that we can't as adults.
Yeah. Do we lose Gene now, too? Gene, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought we lost you for a second. I'm like, not a second guest losing. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Well, and that's interesting, Gene, because I have to say, I talk to a lot of people as well. Mm. And a lot of people do, you know, do exactly what you've experienced. They say, you know, oh, well, you know, my niece or my son, you know. And
we're always hearing stories about people whose their kids are seeing stuff.
Yeah, you know? and of course, somebody at some point said something like, oh, they just don't have the filters yet. You know how you can filter out.
Yeah, we've been seeing it for years here. Out. Yeah,
you know, they just don't have the filters, and it's not filtering, so they experience this stuff. And of course there is, and people are familiar with the conditioning that kids go through. There's no monster in the closet. There's yeah. no ghosts. There's nothing under your bed, you know. Mm-hmm. And so people do go, it makes logical sense. But I have to say, I never personally thought, like, leapt to, well, wait a minute. They are in a tremendous physiological state at that time. I mean, their bodies go from literally you can hold it, you know, you can hold it. How long are little babies? Like
a couple inches,
12 inches, two to three inches.
You can hold them in the palm of your hand like a hamster.
No, they go from like, you know, 7-8 whatever inches long, their whole body to
big bulbous masses like us.
Yeah, and you know, obviously we've hit too many buffets, but the you know, you're going through these tremendous yeah. physiological and medical, you know, issues during this phase of your life. And so there could be something in brain development, something in sense development, something in, you know, because that's when it's all happening.
Yeah.
And I never even thought of that. Because I just, you know, look as far as the wall and I never look beyond it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, good job, Gene.
Well, I get lucky. You know, like I told Scott when I emailed him back, you know, I'm no expert at this. And the way it kind of got going with using the tools so the teachers can't hear the phones ringing. So I started experimenting with that.
I remember that because even I can't hear it. I can't hear that mosquito tone or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, we talked about that. Yeah, right. You sent that over to us, Gene, didn't you?
Yeah, quite a while ago, probably.
Yeah, that was a while back, yeah.
So when I started giving presentations, like at libraries and stuff where I knew there would be kids at, I always give a canned PowerPoint presentation at the beginning so they know a little bit about the group and what we do. Mm-hmm. So I started sliding in these ringtones during the presentation without saying anything. So I would start seeing these kids holding their hands over their ears and their parents looking at them like they were nuts. And then I would slide in after, you know, I'd doing this a few times. I'd say, okay, now, you know, you have all noticed some of your kids holding your hands over your ears. That's because of this tone that you can't hear. So that kind of explains why some kids can hear possibly ghosts or spirits that we can't hear. And they're like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one example, right? I mean, that's part of the equation.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Brain froze up again.
Well, again, we're talking about perception, and this goes back to, I said this on a show, it has to be a couple hundred shows ago, I don't know, they all run together, but the I had said that I had seen this TV show, right? Mm-hmm. And it was probably Earth or Project Earth or one of them that was related to it. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to way back, you know, before there were humans, before there were dinosaurs, before there were anything. I mean, way back to the first, like, you know, multi-celled things, and then of course, those developed into like fish-looking things, and shark-looking things, right? And only nothing on the planet at the time, according to science and this program, which of course is to be believed, it was on TV. Mm-hmm. Nothing had eyes, nothing had ears, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there no light? Was there no sound?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, there was light. There was sound. The problem was there was nothing to sense it.
Yeah, there was no perception out there. The life forms that were around it weren't developed enough to have that type of perception.
Right. So what happens is eventually after your species bumps into enough things, your species decide, well, they don't decide, it just sort of happens that they're like, okay, well, that's it, I'm going to grow an eye, so at least I'm not going to bump into anything or swim into a bigger fish's mouth, right? and so they do, and, you know, it just sort of, you know, evolves from there. But what about, you know, the other sense, like the sense that we don't have a name for, or, well, we have names for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing is really written down in you know, the annals of science yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what about sensing other things? Is there no ether? Is there no alternate plane of existence or afterlife? There was light when nobody or nothing could see it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They just had no way of sensing it.
Yeah.
Why would there not be an ether or a, you know, an ethereal realm or at least we have an idea that it could be there. We have stories that seem to back it up. I can't sense it.
Mm, either can I.
But the kids seem to have more of a, during this developmental phase,
yeah.
right? And this learning phase and this developmental phase, they could easily have more of a sensory perception of it than we could. So how many kids do you talk to? How many kids have said, I've seen a ghost? Gene,
are you there?
Uh-oh.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
We are having issues today, aren't we?
It's not
the internet.
No.
Are you there?
Yeah, good. You're back now.
Sorry, we're getting some pretty heavy thunderstorms in Ohio, so that might be part of it.
Okay.
And we just had a guy on who...
He brought down our internet.
Yeah,
for
he
us.
Brought down our internet during his segment, so...
well, I heard you... at a typical library, usually when I give a presentation at a library, it'll be 100 to 120 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say maybe a quarter of those are kids, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So of those 25, I will probably have 10 or 15 to say, well, I saw something. And most of them won't say it around their parents, but they'll come up to me afterwards and kind of pull me into the corner and say, you know, I'm seeing this, and this, and, you know, what can I do? I say, well, the first thing you need to do is talk to your parents. They need to know.
Right.
And if you need me to be involved in that, I'll be happy to sit down with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be afraid. Don't fear anything. Just, you know, talk to them about it.
Now, all related here, I do want to give people, and this is straight from your newsletter too, Gene, the definition, and I think this really just kind of brings it, I mean, it really drives the point home, I think, about this, because this is part of the, you know, part of the equation. You mind if I give them, from your newsletter, the definition of presbycusis, or however you pronounce it?
Hey, I put this newsletter out there for anybody to use any way they need to, so have at it.
Okay. Presbycusis is the gradual loss of hearing that occurs as people age. It is a common disorder associated with aging. One in three older adults over the age 60 has hearing loss. Half of people over age 75 have hearing loss. Presbycusis usually occurs gradually, with some people not immediately aware of the change. So they're talking about in their older years, but I'm sure it starts to happen when you're in your 20s. I can only imagine. They say it's a gradual change, right? So I can imagine it would start happening in your 20s, maybe your mid to late 20s, and so on.
I think it's more like I looked at something, Gene, you had sent. There was like a chart or something, and I thought it started more like in the 40s or 50s.
Is in the 40s or 50s?
Yeah, but it only goes by little chunks.
Unless you're me and you're probably half deaf right now, because of all the loud music I've been on. Because that's a big thing too, Jamie. A lot of people, I think, too. The data may be getting skewed, because I think a lot more people don't. Because I know back in like in the 40s and 50s, for example, people were very conscious of that. Even when I was growing up, I mean, I used to always hear that all the time. Be careful. If you listen to the loud stuff, it'll tear your ears up, right? You're going to go deaf when you get older. And I used to hear that all the time. And nowadays, I don't ever hear anybody saying that, obviously, from the evidence of people driving by the house here. Boom, 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 right? And all the noise. So, I mean, it seems like it may be happening to people earlier, but, I mean, it's still a gradual change. So you're not going to notice it, correct, Gene?
Yeah, and that's why they go to such large skips in their age. But like you said, one of the large contributors to this is loud environments, loud music, work areas that are loud.
Uh-huh.
And one of the treatments to try to recover some of your hearing is wearing hearing protection.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I think it's obvious now. Children, their ears are new. They're fresh. The tympanic membrane is still very tender. It's nice. It's sensitive, okay? And I think that's where it's
soft, like a baby's body. Yes.
Well, there's also physical reasons for that.
Yeah.
As a child, all their, you know, their eardrum and stuff is smaller. Being smaller, it can resonate at a higher tone.
Oh, a faster tone. It's faster if it's higher. So yeah, it's a higher vibration essentially, right? So the higher your vibration, it can register that. Okay, yes, I didn't know that part. So basically, again, I mean, and this now, but we have to. I guess I want to throw this into the mix too. This isn't just, you know, limited to children too. We can talk the same. I guess maybe it may apply loosely to animals. Am I correct, Gene?
Yeah. Not only in the hearing, but you know, even in the vision. You know, one of the other things, the second newsletter I did was how children can actually see into the UV range that adults can't.
Okay.
So you know, it's even possible that not only can they hear things, but they can also see things.
Okay.
And you know, you said something about animals, but you know, cats can actually see into the UV range all their lives.
Okay. Well, I can't count how many times we've done investigations or we've talked to people from stories, and you'll hear that consistently where the cat will just go off. I mean, you'll hear stories of the cat just freaking out, going off, looking at something that isn't there.
Or it'll stare at something that's not there and watch it move around the room. Yeah.
Yeah. We've heard that story. I'm sure you've heard that
story. And you've heard that too, Gene, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another thing too. And now, again, I guess we can pull back to the visual thing though too with children. And you say that now you say that they can see into the UV range, correct?
Yeah, they can see about 300 nanometers, which the typical violet range is right at 400.
Okay.
So they can actually see beyond the 400 violet up into the UV a little bit more.
Okay, yeah, it says here, a visible portion of the electromagnetic spectrum is generally 380 to 400 nanometers to about 760 nanometers. So children can see, I don't think they can see beyond 760 nanometers, can they? That would be ridiculous.
Right.
that would just be way too much. But they can see within that area. Down to 300.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so I see. Is that something to do with aging with adults, though, too? I mean, do you think that as we get older, I don't know if it's the same thing with our ears, if there's a breakdown, if it's just a natural part of aging. Because our eyes go, I wear glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, your eyes break down as your ears do. I think, honestly, if you stare at computers for too long, your eyes go weird.
I know, I get eye strain.
Yeah, I get eye strain. Well, I'm talking about over years, though. I think you might have vision problems after a while, because it wasn't, my eyes were great until I started sitting on computers all the time, and then, boy, my eyes are, I'm getting headaches and stuff reading. Well, you need glasses. You know? So, I mean, is it just a natural breakdown like the ears is, Gene?
Yeah, actually, it also, from what I could tell, also relates to the size of the eye. There's actually a thin band in everyone's eyes that is around the cornea that is sensitive to infrared light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, you get so many reports of somebody seeing something out of the corner of their eyes, because the corner of their eyes is actually the more sensitive to the IR range. But then when they turn and look directly at something, they get away from that band, and it just goes away. As kids, that band's a little bit wider.
Mm-hmm.
It goes away as you age.
As your face grows and your head changes, yeah. I was going to ask you about seeing things out of the corner of your eyes, too. And that's simply why, is that the corner of your eye can see into the UV range better than the middle of your eye can.
Right.
Wow, cool.
Well, is our ghosts, then, do they live in the UV range, or is just that little bit of extra perception maybe all we need to get a clue into the next dimension?
You know, I wish I had an answer for that. I would know where to look. But, you know, I'm just hoping by sending these newsletters out and maybe helping people think differently or in a different light, maybe we can put some stuff together that can all add up to find some answers.
Well,
Are there microphones you can buy that hear, or you know, that allow you to record, and recording mechanisms to go along with these microphones,
uh-huh,
that allow you to record lower and higher than?
Well, I thought that a digital recorder was supposed to do that anyways. I mean, that's why people get EVPs on them all the time. They say, well, it's recording at a lower decibel level that you can't hear with the human ear, so that's why we get EVPs on there. They said it about tape recorders, too. I'm correct, right, guys? I mean, that's
well, they apply any, you know, common
That's what I've been hearing
of the day. But no, the actual, like when you buy a microphone, Gene, you've looked at this. I know you have to. It gives a frequency response range. Mm. And, I mean, should we be paying more attention to that? Is there something we can enhance a microphone in order to record that? And then maybe, because you can take, like, the mosquito tone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And right. You can subtract a certain amount of wavelength from it so that you can hear it within a comfortable range that you can actually hear. It'll be a different pitch, but, yeah, you know, you'll be able to hear that there was something there that, you know, the kids were hearing and you just couldn't hear it. So you can bring something from a different recording or frequency spectrum down into something you can hear,
yeah.
But or up, you know, vice versa, if you've got something really low. But can you record it? How do you record this? Something very, very high,
Gene,
or very, very low. How do you go about recording it?
Gene, any thoughts?
Yeah, actually, when someone's asking me about a good recorder to do EVPs on, I always recommend the Olympus DS-30 or the DS-40.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Wait a second here.
I know. That sounds very much like yours.
Wait, hang on. I got the case right here. You carry it. I'll be back in a second.
Okay. And why? Does that have a frequency response that is more amenable?
It has a phenomenal frequency response. I'm trying to find that right now. Because I wanted to make sure I gave you the right specs on it. But I want to say it's down to around 100 hertz up to like 19,000.
Which is amazing. I mean, that's plenty. That's enough to hear further than we can hear.
I have a DW90. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Oh, okay. But which is good because I wonder if that... Okay, Gene, here's something interesting. You've played EVPs for people before, right?
Right.
And some people say, I heard it say, go away, right? That's just something, you know, I picked that out, right? But then you'll play it for somebody else, and they go, I don't hear anything. And then you'll play it for someone else, and they'll be like, oh, no, 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 it sounds like it says, you know, like,
blow the hay.
Thank you for that.
Toe the nail.
Yeah, well, and that's,
but yes,
but that perception is its own right thing. There. Do you think that this phenomena about losing hearing frequency response and stuff like that may have something to do with that?
It definitely could. A lot of that goes into the, I guess the common term of that is matrixing.
You know,
there's people, that too.
Yeah, people are hearing what they think they want to hear. It's kind of hard to say. I just found the frequency response in that recorder. It's actually 50 to 19,000 hertz.
Oh, that is amazing.
And it's only like a $150 recorder, so you have to watch, you know, what you get. And the WSs, I think they start at about 300 hertz.
Oh, geez.
We find out.
Uh-huh.
He's surfing the internet right now. But yeah, I wonder...
Yeah.
Because
the WS is 150 to 17,000. So,
okay.
You know, and since most EVPs we catch is 100 hertz or below, that recorder isn't even capable of doing that.
Interesting.
Well, there we go.
So you want to really pay attention to the recorder that you buy.
Yeah. So
I mean, unless you live in like a Scooby-Doo movie or something where where it's a very audible, you know, kind of ghost, you know, and then
a skeptical punch so many holes in that, forget it.
And then it's like, you know, oh no, it's just the old caretaker.
Why don't we take a quick break here and chill out for a second? Because what we're gonna do, and this I got Gene's blessing on this actually. We're gonna talk some more about this stuff and kind of go. And I'm kind of liking this because we're just kind of bumping ideas back and forth. We're gonna do that for a few more.
This
minutes.
Is kind of what we do at. Conferences when you're talking to people.
Yeah, like, this is very cool.
I heard this.
We're going to talk for a few more minutes.
You do this.
Yeah,
I love it. I love this.
We're going to talk for a few more minutes with Gene when we come back from the break. And then Gene has been nice enough, too. And Gene, you're going to hang out with us the rest of the show, right, Gene?
Oh, absolutely.
Gene's going to hang out here with us for the rest of the show. Well, we got to get into your John Peter thing. We got to talk about this.
That's
thing,
a good idea.
I totally stopped all over
about
your time.
15 minutes.
That's what
so
I said. We're going to give you about 15 minutes to do this thing. I think it's I went about 18 minutes. So
okay.
I'm sure you're much better at abbreviating things than I am. I can talk whatever. So
I can narrow it down into one sentence, but I want to elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, we want to talk about this thing. It's really interesting. So let's do that. We'll take a break here. We got Gene Lafferty here. We're going to be talking about John Peter some more. We're talking about all kinds of weird stuff. This is Ghost. This is Huck. I'm Scott Alford.
And I'm Doug.
We'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.
WPIRG, Crossroads Paranormal, and ASPRN are excited to announce the first annual North Central Paranormal Meet and Expo. The event will take place on June 6, 2009 at the Honeywell Center Gym in Wabash, Indiana. The time of the event is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admittance is free. All paranormal enthusiasts are welcome to attend, and groups or individuals may set up a table at the event free of charge. Donations to raffle off at the event. Each person that attends the event will receive one raffle ticket. But if you bring a non-perishable food item, you will receive an additional entry. The food items collected will be donated to a local nonprofit food pantry to help those in need. If you are planning to attend the event, we would love for you to participate in our paranormal photo contest. Bring your photo to the event. The money raised from voting will also be donated to a nonprofit organization. The picture that has the most money in their canister will be the winner of the Best Paranormal Photo prize to be announced at a later date. The ASPRN feed will be open for the event, and CPR show hosts Chris and Mike will be broadcasting the event and hope that other radio hosts from ASPRN will also participate in the broadcast. What this means is that if you are a group or individual that is going to attend the event, stop by the live broadcast booth and tell us about yourself or your group live on air. If you have any questions about the event or table space, contact Jason at WPIRG@yahoo.com. If you would like to make a donation, contact Chris at chris@cprshow.com. RIS@cprshow.com. Or if you have any questions about ASPRN and the live feed, you can contact Mike at mike@ASPRN.com.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well, then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
That I could have a redemption for all that I've on the other side, CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups, we are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
We were talking about the parade tomorrow. The parade.
Oh, so that I'm not allowed to go to now?
Yeah.
A family tradition.
You see? See what I said? Tradition. It's a tradition.
Do you have any family traditions at all? Amber?
Yeah, I do.
What? Like what?
Food.
Well, okay, that's a given. I agree with that. All right, so anyways, speaking of family, okay, go ahead, Doug.
We're talking to Gene Lafferty, who's really reminding us about our limits of perception,
how they become
more and more limited over time,
mm-hmm.
but it also, you know, reminds us that we just really don't perceive everything, do we?
No, we don't.
Interesting.
No, we don't, and I think people spend a lot of time, I think some people, you know, it's part of their professions to hone their senses and their perceptions like that, but I still think the children may still have us on that, just
mm-hmm.
for physical things like we've talked about, and possibly even mental things. I think it's a mental thing, too, Gene. I don't think we've really gotten into that. I think a child just doesn't, and that's what I think we've said a lot, because I think we've gotten into the guts of this thing, literally. I mean, the
right.
physical aspect.
There's a physical aspect, a developmental aspect, but there's also, like,
the
like
mental
Gene
thing.
Mentioned, you know, you haven't been...
Well, I mean, Gene, you mentioned this right here in one of the notes we have here, and it does allude to that. Children conditioning by adults not to believe.
Right.
We've been talking about that for so long here, and I think it just comes down again to the story of the kid, like me, in my bed, and my parents saying, there's no such thing as ghosts, you're perfectly safe, you're fine. And I've heard that for years, right? I'm sure you have too, right, Gene?
Well, actually, when I was growing up, it was just the opposite. When my parents took me to bed, they always said if I didn't shut up and go to sleep, the monster in the closet would come out and get me.
But that also, but actually, when you think about that, though, that's conditioning too. I mean, it's to get a reaction. But I mean, that made you afraid of monsters. And what do you do when you're afraid of something? Well, you try to shut it out. You don't want to deal with it. I know when I was really afraid of something like that, I mean, I just would try to shut it out of my mind, so because the thought of it would terrify me. So that's conditioning also, it seems like.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. So I think it's a mental thing, too, where we, you know, over time, depending on who your parents are, that just happens. You, after a while, you might, and this is where I think it comes into play, because... There may have been some time, Gene, for just me, for example, where I may be walking somewhere and I may have seen a ghost. And but my mind may have said that, well, you know, you're outside. There's all these things out here that I understand as an adult, right? In the adult world that I've been conditioned to understand. And therefore, I just push it out of my mind. And I may have had a ghost. I may have talked to a ghost. I may have done that several times. Who knows? But just from... the everyday hustle we have in our lives, too. That's a given. That also. I'm too busy. I have to get to work. I'm too busy. I have to get to the post office. I'm too busy. I have to pay these bills. You don't take time. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us, we don't have the time to pay attention to these things and be as perceptive as we possibly could be as adults.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, in my experience, at least, you know, I really think that the ghost hunting has helped that. It gives you time to slow down, you know, take in the things around you and just kind of sit back and see what happens and not worry about paying the bills for a day or something.
And that's how I used to feel, honestly. I mean, back in the early days when we started doing our ghost hunting thing, I remember I told you this several times, Doug. I was like, I like coming out here. It's very relaxing. It's very nice. We can just come out here. It's quiet. It's peaceful. Even if it's at nighttime, I don't believe in the Hollywood thing. So it's very peaceful out here, no matter what time of the day it is. If we went up to a cemetery, for example, and it does, it makes you kind of just unwind a little bit too. So yeah, that's what ghost hunting. I think.
And then you have the time to pay attention to these kinds of things.
Exactly. And that's the whole point right there.
What an interesting concept.
We don't have time.
Maybe it is all about slowing down and opening up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Amber?
Yes.
So, no, all this stuff kind of piled together. It makes for a very interesting idea. Just the physical things that Gene's presented tonight, and then just the mental things, too, that we've talked about over the years here on the show. And I think it's a really interesting, compelling thing, Gene. You guys got to keep running with that.
No, thanks. Like I said, you know, the next newsletter is going to be on the witching hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think I'm going to do one on infrasound, which I think is very possible that spirits may produce some type of infrasound.
Really?
Which would actually lead to the feelings of the terror and dread that you get when you experience one of these.
Ooh, so basically what we're saying is to keep in touch. If you're not... to get on the newsletter,
a good idea.
How can people get on your newsletter, Gene?
It's all free. They can just go to our webpage at www.bfphi.com.
Okay.
Put in your name, email address, and hit submit.
And I'm going to back that up because, like I said, I mean, that's the reason Gene's here is because of the newsletter he sent out to us, and we just thought it was fascinating, and that's why we wanted to have Gene drop in on us. So that's what you have. I mean, it's all free, like Gene said. Check that out for sure and get some interesting ideas like we discussed here tonight.
Yeah, actually, I just got some really good news today. The lady who draws cartoons for she had the website called Entities Are Us.
Uh-huh.
She's actually going to be doing a cartoon for every newsletter to go along with the theme.
So oh, very cool. And what's her website again?
Entities are us with a dash, just like the other, you know, that Toy Store.
Oh, cool. Excellent. So there'll be some visuals along with some good brain candy.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And this gives people something to talk about.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. It's really, really good stuff because how many times have we sat and talked about a topic for several hours for, you know, and it's just like, wow, that really means something. I mean, there's nothing we can do really about it.
Yeah.
But at least we can expand our minds just a bit and learn something from mm-hmm. each other and talk about this stuff and hash it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the children thing, you know, the children.
The whole idea,
ghosts,
yeah.
The infrasound. I just wonder, yeah, it would be interesting to know what's naturally producing an infrasound and mm-hmm. what could supernaturally be producing infrasound. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that people need to sit and talk about.
Absolutely. So, and Gene will be bringing that to you if you sign up for his newsletter.
I love that idea.
Now, we're going to switch gears here. Gene, you're going to hang out with us, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say? Gene, you're breaking up again.
With the infrasound, they also believe that it's very possible that Bigfoot can produce those types of sounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that makes the feeling of the dread and fear and stuff.
Oh.
And again, we have another thing about faculty development.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the faculty to produce an infrasound that we know of, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the faculty to perceive, you know, into the higher ranges once our hearing goes away, like mm-hmm. the mosquito tone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about your faculties.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Gene, you're going to hang out with us, like I said, you're going to hang out with us here?
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're going to switch gears here. Now, we don't normally do this. We always try to keep our segments nice and tidy. But I've been dying to hear about, have you discuss this on the air, Doug.
Yeah.
Set it up. It's all, the floor is yours. It's never, I'm pulling
well,
my mic.
Well, Gene, are you into time travel?
Well, I haven't done it lately, so.
I asked Gene if he's heard the story of John Teeter.
Right.
Before, and he said yes. So he's excellent. All ears, along with the rest of our listening audience. The floor is yours.
Excellent. And jump in anytime, Gene.
Gene.
This is really interesting. The we finally hit on Oliver Williams.
Yeah, right? A couple weeks ago.
And got to talk about John Teeter and the John Teeter story. A time traveler from 2036 or whatever.
2036.
And went back to 1975. Met his grandfather, and then went back to 2001,
mm-hmm.
I believe, or 2000. Anyway, something like that, and then met himself and his future mother and things like that. Right? He popped on the internet and talked about this stuff freely at anomalies.net and
mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. And I was familiar with the story, and it was the first and only time I called into coast to coast.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to ask about the internet in the future, and because I'm a geek.
Because he's a geek.
Yes,
and you're a dork.
So really interesting stuff. I was always fascinated by the story. I still am. Of course, there's a lot of people who are trying to debunk the John Titor story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. Why do you debunk anything? Because you're scared of it? Because you have a better idea? Because you didn't make it famous about it? I have no idea why people try to debunk things other than maybe they're trying to satisfy their own curiosity, which would be about the only reason that I would think is a good reason to debunk something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people out there trying to debunk this, and they're putting up videos on YouTube, and they're talking about it on websites, right?
Mm-hmm. And generally, we don't, I mean, with this show and, you know, who knows what's going to happen down the road, but... you know, generally, we've always tried to make this a forum for someone to come and present their information without any type of judgment on the air. Okay?
Well, and we don't. I wouldn't judge.
Yeah,
this,
or grind people into the ground or anything like that.
Right, and I don't. I'm still absolutely, completely, totally fascinated with the John Titor story.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking about it with our good friend and...
Unsung hero. Evil Jonathan.
Evil Jonathan. And
our future boss.
Yes. he might be our current boss. We just don't even know it yet.
Yeah.
I think he's in charge of things. But anyway, he has saved the Ghostly Talk server on several occasions.
Yes,
he has hosted the Ghostly Talk server on several occasions.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
So he has
us.
Done
he's
a lot for the show over the years, and of course he's interested in
yeah,
the paranormal.
That's how we met through ghost hunting. Yeah.
So I said, "Remember about the John Titor story?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we talked to Oliver, right?" Of what
JohnTitor.com, yep.
Talked to Oliver, and it was just mind-blowing, right? And he goes, well, what'd he say?
Yeah.
And so I told him, and we refreshed our memory on the John Titor story. And
mm-hmm.
and he's like, well, that was a very interesting discussion. I'm going home now because I have to go to bed. So he, you know, because we talk late into the night sometimes.
Yeah.
So he goes home. Next day, I get a phone call. I was up till 5 in the morning. I'm like, you were? Yes, I was up till 5 in the morning. Something about the John Titor story struck a nerve.
Well, that's how Jonathan is. When he gets focused on something, you can't pull him away from it.
Right.
He's going to grind it into the ground until he's satisfied with whatever information or whatever he can get out of it.
Right.
And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that in a derogatory sense. I mean, he really will focus on it 190%.
Right. And so he was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were talking about it, he's still fascinated by the story. It's a really good story. And there's believable elements, but there's also unbelievable elements, you know, that kind of thing. So he went to the website, JohnTitor.com. He went to Anomalies. He went all these places, right,
mm-hmm.
on the web, because something struck him. Something struck him.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. Finally, like 4 in the morning or whatever, he remembered it. He's like, wait a minute. This sounds kind of similar like a story I read.
Didn't he pop up in bed like...
Yeah. He sat bolt upright. Oh, my gosh, I remember where I've heard this story before.
Okay.
Goes down into the basement, digs through box after box after box, because he moved last year, so a lot of stuff is still in boxes in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Dig through boxes, pulled out a book. And I think a lot of people have probably read this book. It's called Alas, Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the first post-apocalyptic kinds of stories, right, that was written. And so he finds this book, and he starts reading it. He couldn't get all the way through it, obviously, before he finally passed out from sheer exhaustion,
yeah.
Right, of having, you know, thought about this and his wheels were turning. But he did get enough far into it and skimmed enough of it to realize that there's definitely a lot of similar connections to the John Titor story.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the character names are different. There's a lot of things that are different. But Florida is the same. The years are very similar. I think it's like 2034 instead of 2036 or something like that.
Yeah.
So Florida's the same. The mission is the same. Mm-hmm. Go back in time and retrieve a piece of technology,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which in this case was the IBM P...
IBM whatever. The IBM P595.
I'm totally brainwashed on that right now. So, yeah, it was a 5600 or 5100? IBM Series 5100, I think. I can look it up real quick.
3100 or 3110, something like 50, that.
Hey, go ahead and keep going. I'll look it up.
Anyway, in general, it was to go back and retrieve a piece of technology that they needed in the future. Except for when they show the picture, I think they show a 5110, but on the website. But it was just really, really incredible that he remembered. He went down. He got this book, and there were definitely several, at least. I don't know. Is it a statistically...
Well, what was his actual phrase? I thought you said his actual phrasing when he talked to you about this was... It was actually very, very, very profound how he said it to you, because he more or less said... Oh, I'm going to totally screw it up. So
I can correct you if you
correct. No, I don't even. You just tell me what he said. I'd rather not screw it up.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not remembering offhand. I'm just telling you in general what he found.
He
out.
He just said he found a lot of very similar things with this book, obviously, and the John Teeter story.
Yeah, he said that the similarities did seem to be remarkable. And I'm very interested in if anyone, because I haven't read it yet. I haven't read The Last Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to figure out the similarities. Now, so one of the theories that he postulates, and remember, this is all theory,
mm-hmm.
because the John Teeter time travel story still fascinates him, as well as me, as well as everyone.
And this
I know.
I want to say this about. Isn't a shot at Oliver Williams either.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not a shot at him or he's done.
We thought this was interesting to discuss too.
I thought it was very interesting. Is that one of his theories is if somebody wanted to, pretend mm-hmm. to have time traveled, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could have used this book as a blueprint for the cover story,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a theory that he postulated. That doesn't mean that it's accurate. It doesn't mean that it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that that's the truth, because the truth probably is some kind of mixture of many other things, right?
Yeah, I don't think the story of John Teeter will much like just about every crazy story like this, like Amityville and any of these stories that are out there, we will never know the truth.
Right.
Hand over fist. I'm sorry, it just won't happen. There's no way. It's just
right.
There's too many elements involved now. There's too many things going on. But yeah, I mean. This book is really freaky, though.
It's really, really freaky, the number of similarities between the stories. And so what's interesting is, I love trying to think of what makes people tick. And Gene, you might be able to help me with this, because you're studying people, right? You're studying their senses anyway. I want to go in their brains for a second. Why would you, if you did this, why would you read this book, A Last Babylon, decide that you're going to make up this elaborate backstory, you're going to use it as a template for an elaborate backstory, right? And then pop onto the internet for just a short number of months and essentially, create this John Teeter character and then drop out of existence and never take credit. Why would somebody do that kind of thing? And well, any ideas? Gene?
Well, I always say follow the money. Is someone still making money on this story?
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of money to be made on the John Teeter story.
Well,
unless they make it into a movie. But
neither of us know that for sure. Who knows what's going on in the background.
Is there a thriving T-shirt franchise? Or something, I'm from 2036, as far as I can tell, with Oliver Williams, isn't it the same thing as what we have? I mean, he might have a book out about it, right? But
well, he's just been more or less a collector
of
the information.
But mostly, he collected the information, put it up on a website. He's paying for that website, much like we're paying for the Ghostly Talk website.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get my money back every month for the Ghostly Talk website.
No. I don't get my time back.
No, we don't get... We put a lot more.
Time is as precious as money.
Nope. And I think that he's going to be in the same boat. If you add up all the things he spent on this John Titor stuff, right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and any little bit he made off of a book or off of appearances, if he even does that, there's no way. There's absolutely no way he's made back that.
No,
that,
absolutely
the money
not.
And time he spent. No way. So I just don't know if there's enough money. I mean, is it the same thing as like the, you know, there are people who are just pranksters.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can't go
maybe
without saying that. Somebody just may have read this book, and this is all hypothetical, people, completely
right,
hypothetical. Somebody may have just read this book and said, man, I just love it. Maybe it's their favorite book. This is their favorite book. They love it. And they just want to have some fun and see. Because, look, you know, there are some, much like hackers out there, they're not hacking generally. I mean, yeah, they're interested in computers, and it maybe helps them refine their skills. But generally what they're looking for is the reaction to what they're doing.
Right.
They're looking for the reaction. They want to see how people react, is how it affects them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people get off on that, frankly. They just get off on seeing people react. I mean, you know, I'm sure people have used message boards out here. When you post me on a message board, you go back there later on to see how people have reacted to that.
Right.
What they may have said about your query. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I mean, it's just like that. Some people are just interested in seeing how people react to things. So that could be the reason, too.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
you know, you can expand that to, you know, why do people fake crop circles? Why do people fake Bigfoot sightings? Why do people fake Mothman sightings?
Why do people fake ghost sightings? Seriously, and we've dealt with this. I'm sure you've dealt with this too.
Why do
Gene?
People fake prophecies?
why do people fake ghost sightings? We've dealt with this before. Well, a lot of times they just want attention.
Exactly.
They just want attention.
But this was very limited attention. See, I keep trying to say, oh, this is so self-explanatory. Obviously, some, you know, pimply-faced kid in his mother's basement, or a group of people, you know, read this book and decided to use it as a template for a backstory and made this series of brilliant posts and this and the chat logs and then these photos, right?
Doug,
I was duped
by PyramidGallery.com years ago, and that was a fan fiction site. I thought it was the real deal until I looked deeper into it, right?
Right, right.
You know, and but the guy was open about it and said, no, it's a fan fiction site, but it got me. They
yeah,
got me,
yeah,
right?
Well, the thing is that, you know, if it was these kids, they did it for a number of months and then just dropped off the planet.
Yeah.
Why?
Again, it may just be for the reaction. Look, we had our fun with this thing. Now I'm bored. I'm going to do something else.
Maybe their parents called them.
You will stop posting as John Titor on this board.
They got kicked out of their parents' basement. What happened? Go out and get your own place now, kid. You got to get yours. You know, it's another business.
Yeah. You can post as John Titor when you can pay for the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. Fascinating, though, and I wanted to make sure we got that in sometime tonight. You called me about that like a week and a half ago.
And
so
I'm still excited about it because I would love that to be the explanation, because then it would be like cut and dry, wrapped up, you know, and can put that in a box up on a shelf and we're done with it.
Yeah.
I highly doubt that's the entire truth.
But it just makes you think.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you were able to go back in time to meet yourself, what would you do?
Beat the crap out of myself.
Yeah, I'd say, oh, gosh.
What's wrong with you?
You really don't want to take this job or that job or the other job. Really, just become a fry cook.
I think I would, and I always hear people, I can't stand hearing people say this, well, you know, if I could go back and do it again, I'd do it exactly the same. I'm very, bull crap.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
There's a lot of things I would change.
I would give
you
myself
when you
a
grow
few
up.
Tips.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot of things you change when you as you grow and you're more mature. I'm a different person than I was 10, 15 years ago. I'm a completely different person. So I go back then to when I was 19 or 20 years old, and I go, listen, dude, there's things you need to understand here, all right? And that's what I would do, Gene. I think you'd do the same thing, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
We go back and go, listen, here, I'm going to give you some advice from an older person who, you know, older you, that has more experience now. And here you make better decisions, right? So
what if you had the ability to take back stock tips or the winning lottery numbers?
Oh, I would do it in a minute.
Well, I wouldn't
exactly.
I would be in a big plush studio doing this radio show,
yeah,
right now.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I would absolutely do it.
Hell, why not?
But not for
that
myself.
That did not happen in this case.
No, it didn't happen in this case.
No,
and that, to me, that's the biggest thing to say, well, I'm not too sure about this story.
Yeah. Interesting. It's, I'm melting down.
I am too.
It's 9:03 here.
There are. You're right. The opportunity cost, or the opportunities lost, then are yet another thing about the story that I still have to put in a column and decide whether it's a pro or a con.
Well, we can revisit it. Let's revisit this thing. You know, I mean, hell, you might even just ask Oliver. Hey, dude, look. Here's something you might... Let's do that. Let's contact them.
Yeah, I think that's a good
idea. I don't think they're going to listen to the show.
I think maybe 6 or 10 months from now. I think that would be a fantastic idea once we can get more listener feedback. You know, hey, someone
think about
this.
Yeah, send some feedback in on this. Yeah, seriously, do that, guys. Email Doug.
I won't read it.
Put a forwarder on your email this week, Doug, to me. Send it to Scott L at ghostlytalk.com, and I'll forward it to Doug, and I'll beat him over the head and go, you have an email.
Right, if it's from Scott L, I do read it, yeah, because it's usually important.
We have to... Definitely.
We're over our time.
We're flying over the
time.
Gene, thank you
so much. Your website, bsphi.com.
Thanks for joining us, and yeah, thanks for hanging out with us here while Doug got this off of his chest, too, Gene.
Oh, anytime. It's always an honor.
Thank you. Stay on the line.
Hang on the line. Don't leave it to
you. I also have to thank Samuel Spolman of Shadow of Simon Magus, or Magus. .multiply.com. That'll be linked up at ghostlytalk.com. What a fascinating story, and I hope a lot of people go and get that book, because it sounds fantastic. The Shadow of Simon Magus. And then, of course, PCon, we're looking forward to it.
Coming up this weekend.
If you are anywhere near Dayton, Ohio, anywhere near Mansfield, Ohio, there's two things going on in Ohio this upcoming weekend. A couple hours apart. We're going to be at both of them, and we just fully support both of these things. So there's no show next week. So go to theprodigygroup.org for more information about the PCon on Friday night and Saturday, and then of course we'll see everybody at WISP on Sunday
morning.
Well, you'll be there Saturday.
I'll be there Saturday
and
night,
Sunday.
Yeah.
And I want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope you enjoy the
fun show,
the independent
good job,
music.
That's good show, yay, wee. Woo. All right, cool. Another one in the can. All right. So yeah. Anyways, let's just do that. It's been Ghostly Talk here. We won't be here next week, unfortunately.
We'll be back
on the road,
full strength, with wonderful stories to tell
and some great speaker discussions from everybody at PCon.
Yep.
So yeah, there'll be a lot coming up in the next couple of weeks here. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
We'll see you guys here in a couple of weeks.